Hi there, Happy New Year. This is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got a New Year's story coming up this hour. It's from True Confessions magazine. It's called New Year's Kiss. Here's the story. They call me the Black Widow. It's not my fault. It's nothing that I asked for or ever dreamed of, but I've lost two husbands. Twice I've stood at the graveside, taking a rose from the bouquet on top of the casket before they lowered my husband into the ground. And each time my heart went with that man. I'm still here, just my two boys and me. Jonathan and Charlie have grown up, and I've just gotten older, alone. But I need a life. Even my mother will tell you that. My sons may not understand, but I can tell you, sons are not like daughters. I think daughters just want to see you happy, but boys, they feel like they should protect their mother, and I guess that's what John and Charlie were doing. Adam, my first husband, died in a construction accident, and that was that. My oldest son, Jonathan, was only 3 years old, and I felt so bad for him. He was at the age where he followed his daddy around, climbing onto his lap every time Adam would sit down. I remember trying to explain to him that his daddy wasn't coming home. It was more than heartbreaking. Long after Jonathan had cried himself to sleep, I would lie in bed, sobbing into my pillow, so my little boy would not hear me. There was the pain of losing Adam, and then the pain of seeing my son's heartbreak. So when Eric came along, and he was so darn sweet to me, it was easy to fall in love again, and it was even easier to have another baby, which saved Jonathan from being an only child. By the time Charlie joined us, Jonathan was about 5. We were a family again. I couldn't have been happier. We all got along so well. Of course, Charlie grew up adoring his older brother. Eric was such a good father to both John and Charlie. He never showed any favoritism. He took both of them to the ball games to see Santa, to swim practice, and to visit college campuses. Some weekends, Eric would take the two boys camping, just the three of them. I'd wave goodbye, and the boys would be tucked in the back of the Bronco with all the bedrolls and the camping gear. Then I'd go off to my job at the dance studio. I guess through everything, that's what saved my life. At the dance studio, I teach a lot of different types of dancing, from tiny tots who want to learn tap dance, to teenagers who want to learn salsa, to seniors who want to learn how to waltz. My dancing gave me an outlet in those years when I didn't want to get up in the morning, before I met Eric. I had to make a living, and after we married, Eric respected the fact that I had dancing and the studio in my life. He would have been glad to support all of us, and I certainly didn't make a ton of money, but still, it gave me a cushion. The dancing also gave me a great body. I'm not tempted to go the ice cream and cookies route during hard times, so I'm lean and toned and proud of it. We had such a happy life, the four of us. I looked forward to seeing the boys go to college, to have opportunities we didn't have. Eric and I looked forward to being grandparents together. We wanted to grow old together and retire to Florida or someplace warm, but that wasn't to be. When Eric started getting those headaches and then the blurred vision that didn't clear up, we knew something was wrong. And then the doctors told us the bad news. How I prayed that we would have more time, but we didn't, and that was that. One year later, I was a widow again, standing at the graveside, looking at the top of that coffin and wanting to climb right in. By that time, Jonathan was in college and Charlie was in high school. How I made it through the day, I'll never know. I attended school functions for Charlie, and we would go see Jonathan at college because Charlie missed his big brother so much. But I was just dragging my body from one place to another. I stretched my face into plastic smiles so that my boys would not worry about me and so they wouldn't feel worse than they already did. My mother, of course, knew how much I suffered, but what could she do? She had a good life with my father, and when he died, she started to play bridge with her friends and go to cooking classes. She was always busy. Me, I had my dance studio. My heart wasn't in it those days, but I would plan the recitals for the parents and watch the moms and dads get so excited about their children. In my heart, I would cry, thinking that should be Eric and me. We should be here watching our children grow up. Teresa, you should date, my mother insisted. You're still young and so attractive. You have your whole life before you. You should go out with friends and have fun. Fun. Oh, right, Mom, I said. I'd be a lot of fun. All I do is cry. She just shook her head, but I was telling the truth, and I couldn't cry in front of my boys because it would break their hearts. But it seemed as if I still had a river of tears to cry at night on my pillow. Months went by, and suddenly I'd been alone for 2 years. I went to church and prayed for my dear husband's and prayed that I would be a good mother. I think the praying kind of filled my heart. Soon the boys were older and we would go out for their birthdays. Because we all liked to dance, we'd go to some dance club. I could feel the men looking at me, and I could see my boys watching the guys who were looking at me, and they were not one bit happy. It was kind of a strange sensation. It was like I had my own dating service, and not many of the men were passing muster. When one poor guy came up and had the nerve to ask me to dance, Jonathan looked him up and down and then nodded to me. "It's all right, Mom." I thought the man was going to faint, and wouldn't you know, it was a slow song. You could have driven a Buick between the two of us as we danced. His hand was wet with perspiration by the end of the dance. My boys are both big, not the kind you'd want to tangle with, and I could feel them boring holes in my back as we danced. The poor guy stumbled a couple of times in his cowboy boots and nearly brought me down with him. Luckily, we didn't go out together like that too often. I couldn't stand the tension. Then Jonathan was in his senior year at college, and he fell head over heels in love with Mary. She had a laugh that would bring a smile to anybody's face, and the cutest dimples you would ever want to see. But the best part about Mary was that when Jonathan was around her, he smiled again. That was good enough for me. I didn't want him to get married so young, but after graduation from college, he got married. "Well, that's wonderful, Jonathan," I said when he told me about their plans. I was happy when they settled in our city and didn't move away. It was a fun time, an exciting family time, and wouldn't you know it, Jonathan and Mary started to talk about having a family. I guess that's when the panic started to set in. "I am way too young to be a grandmother," I wailed to my mother. My mother laughed. "I don't think you are their main concern, Teresa," she told me. "Let them live their life and you live yours." How I wrestled with this whole thing, Not only was Jonathan married, but he was also thinking seriously about making me a grandmother, and I was so not ready for that one yet. By that time, I'd met Marcy, an old high school friend who was going through a divorce. We went out one Saturday night to let our hair down. I just liked to be around music. Before long, we were at the Blue Bowl drinking shots and beer, which used to be my favorite thing to do with both Adam and Eric. When this good-looking guy with dark hair asked me to dance, I really didn't want to. Then I figured, sure, what the heck? He had this knowing smile on his face, like, I know what a woman like you needs from a man. Dangerous. He looked dangerous in the way that drives women crazy. I just wanted to dance, and this guy was good at it. Carlo had magic feet, and that wasn't all that was magic about him. He was lean and mean. A snake crept out of the short sleeve of his t-shirt and down onto his wrist. He wore a black vest over the shirt. His jeans fit him great, and his boots looked like they were hand-tooled. Well, he's really something, Marcy said when I finally insisted that he take me back to the table after three fast dances. I took a deep gulp of my beer, watching Carlo walk away. He had a real kick to his stride. Somehow in the course of those three dances, he'd asked me for my phone number, and although I tried to put him off the first two times he asked, on the third time I thought, why not? He had better moves than any guy I'd ever danced with before. Come out and see my hog, he pleaded, when he came back to ask me to dance again. Only if my friend Marcy can come with me, I said, and I gave Marcy one of those looks that said, you better do this for me. Marcy was on her feet before I could count to three and walking toward the door. I'd like to see that hog, all right, she said. His Harley was a beauty, and Carlo looked at his motorcycle the way most men look at a woman, with ownership and pride. Want to go for a ride? He asked. The parking lot lit sparks in his dark eyes. I laughed. Will we all fit on that motorcycle? I'm sitting this one out, Marcy said. I could see that Carlo had an extra helmet. Clearly, this was a guy who came prepared, but the faces of my two boys flashed before me right then, and I knew that they would not approve of this. They probably would not have even approved of how close Carlo had held me by the third dance, and they would certainly not approve of him taking me off on a motorcycle. I think I should go home, I said quietly. Marcy looked at me with a question in her eye, but without a word, Carlo turned off his motorcycle and followed me back into the bar. He moved up another notch in my eyes. Seems like a nice guy, Marcy said as we drove home. She was the designated driver, and I admit I probably had a few too many beers. I just didn't get out that often. Yeah, he's a nice guy, I guess, I said, watching the scenery fly by, feeling myself get a little dizzy. Was it the drinks or the excitement of having a man hold me close, breathing him in, and thinking about where that could lead? And he's hot, Marcy said. We both started to laugh. We laughed until she was wiping her eyes and could hardly see the road, and I was just a ball of giggles curled up in her front seat. I hadn't felt this way in a long time. It was as if this tight spring inside me started to loosen right then. Then and there, sure felt good. When Carlo called the next day, he wanted to see me. At first I said no. Well, could I ask why not? He said, and I could hear the hurt in his voice. We had such a good time last night. And he was right, we did have a good time, and he hadn't pushed me into anything. Why don't you let me take you someplace nice? Carlo pleaded. You don't have to do that, I said. I didn't want him to think that I was blowing him off because he had the motorcycle. That wasn't it at all. If anything, I liked him more because of that motorcycle. The motorcycle was exciting. So I snuck out like a teenager, telling my son Charlie that I was going out with Marcy the next night. I agreed to meet Carlo in the parking lot of the Blue Bull. I thought you were out with Marcy last night, Charlie said, looking up from the television as I applied a coat of lip gloss using the hallway mirror. Well, we just might get all wild and crazy, I said. Maybe we'll go out two nights in a row. Right, you get wild and crazy, Mom. Charlie gave me the trace of a smile. Have a good time, he said. Now, how's that for role reversal? I was out the door. When I pulled into the parking lot, there was no Carlo. I'd spent an hour doing my hair and makeup and deciding what to wear. My jeans were soft and fit me just right, and my shirt had sequins in a tropical flower pattern and caught the light. But my confidence just seeped right out from under me. When I didn't see his motorcycle, I almost turned around and went home. What am I doing? I asked myself as I tapped my fingers on the steering wheel. Am I going to go out with just any guy who turns up at a bar and is a good dancer? I had forgotten all about how sweet Carlo was to me. I was preparing myself for disappointment. Then I heard the rumble of his motorcycle. Carlo roared into the lot and stopped right in front of me. When he took off his helmet, the light hit his hair. His smile took me in with deep approval. I thought maybe you wouldn't come, he said. There was the challenge in his voice, like he thought maybe I was too chicken. I sat up a little straighter. Why'd you think that? I said, jutting my chin out as I slipped out of my car and locked the door. He smiled and handed me a helmet. Put it on, he said. His eyes slid down to my tight jeans. You look terrific. I hesitated for just one moment. Then I took the helmet and snapped the strap under my chin. Moments later, I was sitting behind Carlo and roaring off into the night. Forget about the hairdo. Why did I even bother? That was the beginning of a whole new life for me. I loved the night breeze in my hair, even though most of it was under a helmet. I loved the wind whipping past my cheeks. I loved the feeling that I was living dangerously. It might sound strange, but riding behind a man on that motorcycle made me feel alive again. I loved the way Carlo felt snug between my arms. First, we went down a couple of the main streets in town. He took me past his high school, and we laughed, knowing that our football teams had knocked heads on the football field more than once. Can't this thing go faster than this? I asked. I was really feeling crazy that night. Remember, you asked for this, Carlo said with a laugh. He headed onto the road that led out to the country. It was a good thing that there was a clear shield over my face, or I would have had bugs splattered all over my cheeks. That's how fast we were going. Were you born to be wild? I yelled in his ear. You got that right. He laughed and revved it up some more. That hour and a half flew by. I almost felt bad when he headed back to the parking lot. Want to stop for a drink? He asked. You could hear the music spilling out into the parking lot. The band was playing some Bryan Adams song. I looked at the bar, but I didn't want to get into a lot of heavy drinking with Carlo. Or maybe we'll go someplace to get something to eat, he said. Wow, it was like this guy could read my mind. So we stopped at the grill. He liked his burgers with everything on it, from pickles and onions to ketchup and mustard. He liked it with the works. One time I saw a movie where the girl said she could tell how a man's going to make love by watching him eat. I chewed my single pad cheeseburger slowly, watching Carlo dig into that double cheeseburger. He scooped up the onions, slivers that were falling out of the bun with his tongue, and he wrapped his lips around that burger like he owned it. It wasn't gross or anything. He just enjoyed it. My stomach went into free fall, and I put my burger down. At one point, he looked up and caught me watching him. "What?" he asked, looking like I'd just caught him red-handed, doing something that no boy should do. "What is it?" He dabbed his napkin across his chin. "Oh, you're fine," I ducked my head. "Really, it's nothing." I didn't want to make him feel bad. Besides, I was a little embarrassed by what I was thinking, knowing it had nothing to do with a cheeseburger. I pushed my plate back and took a deep breath. "So, can I see you tomorrow night?" Carlo asked, when he took me back to the parking lot of the Blue Bull. I did a little math in my head. That would mean I'd see this guy 3 nights in a row. Things were moving too fast for me. I was way over the line with Carlo, although we hadn't done a darn thing but ride that motorcycle and eat burgers. "Say," he said, looking at me sideways, "I know you're a beautiful woman, Teresa. You probably have a million guys chasing after you. If I don't stand a chance, I'd like to know it now." I looked him straight in the eye. "That's not it, Carlo," I said. "That's really not it. I've just got, well, some other plans. How about next Friday night? Will that work for you?" "That will work just fine." He leaned forward like he might kiss me, and it took me by surprise. I jerked back a little, and he laughed and ran one hand under my chin. "You are a skittish one. See you Friday night. Next Friday night," he added with a laugh. Then he was gone, wheels spinning and gravel flying. I slid into my car feeling dizzy and drove home slowly. I was practically sneaking into my own house that night, afraid of what might show on my face. Charlie was in the kitchen making a sandwich. The TV was blaring. "Did you guys have fun?" he asked. "Yes," I said, trying to pat my hair smooth. It was a total mess. "We had a nice time." "That's good." He plopped back down in front of the TV, and I dropped a kiss on his head. "See you tomorrow, sweetheart," I said. "Night, Mom." Charlie reached up and squeezed my hand. I don't know why I felt I should keep Carlo a secret, but I did. After all, he was just a guy, just someone I hardly knew, really. My older son Jonathan dropped in at the dance studio, but I didn't mention Carlo to him. I guess I thought that they might not approve of me dating. Oh, they'd said often enough that I should go out, but the pictures of their fathers were still on the mantel side by side. In each of the photos, I was smiling and so happy. It was like their fathers were still in our lives, but they weren't, and that was the pain and the loneliness of it. Charlie answered the phone when Carlo called Wednesday night. "Mom, it's for you," Charlie said, handing me the phone. He had a funny, watchful look on his face. "Hey, is that your boyfriend or your husband?" Carlo teased me when I took the phone from Carlo's hand. Charlie leaned against the kitchen counter instead of leaving the room. I casually strolled into the hallway. "Right," I said. "How can I help you?" Silence. "Well, I guess you can help me by giving me your address for starters," Carlo said. I think I heard a smile in his voice, but there was a little bit of irritation, too. I tried to think fast. "Why don't I meet you somewhere?" I said. "I'm having my hair done that evening, and it might be better that way. The only appointment I could get was 6 o'clock, so It would be best for me if we could meet. Whatever you say, Teresa, Carlo said. I wouldn't want to spoil that beautiful long hair. A shiver ran down my back. Were we both thinking of that long hair spread across a pillow? When Friday came, I tried to be casual as I got dressed. Charlie was still home when I left the house. Going out with Marcy again? Charlie said. I stood in the doorway with my purse slung over my shoulder. I was wearing a pair of my tightest black jeans and a blue top that showed just enough cleavage. The knit top was new and special. I didn't want to wear any of my old clothes, and I'd gone shopping. All of my outfits seemed to have memories. Right, I said, staring down at my boots. Marcy and I are becoming good friends. Then I decided to be the mom again. Where are you going? To the game, Charlie said. Don't stay out too late, I said. You know you have a curfew. Usually I read in bed until I heard Charlie come in. When Eric was alive, he was the one who waited up for Jonathan. It was lonely being the only parent waiting up for your child, making sure things were all right, worrying all alone. Have a good time, Mom, Charlie said, and he smiled that cute smile. It's about time you have some fun. I'm glad you met Marcy. Me too. See you, honey. And I was out the door. When I got to the Blue Bull, I parked, and Carlo pulled up seconds later. Good evening, gorgeous, he said, giving me that wicked smile. He handed me the helmet. I put it on and got on behind him. I thought we might go shopping for you tonight, he said when we'd been riding for a while. The wind was rushing past us, and I thought I heard him right. What did you say? I called out. Carlo turned around, and I got a whiff of that spicy aftershave. I said, I think we need to go shopping. What's the matter? I said, feeling a little offended. You don't like my clothes? Those are pretty play clothes, Carlo said. You need something for the road, you know, something that will protect you when it gets a little colder. A shiver ran through me. Was he talking about the future? The future never held happiness for me. At least that's how it worked out. I didn't want to think about the future. I was just along for the ride today. He pulled up in front of a shop that I'd never seen, or that I'd never been in before. Inside, the smell of leather was heavy in the air. It was wonderful. Jackets that were mostly brown and black hung on racks. There were hats in the back, too. Some were cowboy hats and some were slouch caps that you would pull over your ears. Everything was leather and fabulous. Why don't you look around, Teresa? Carlo said. Do you think you look better in black or brown? And he took a beautiful black jacket off the rack and held it up to me. Oh, Carlo, I said, I don't know if I can buy a jacket, not just now. Carlo frowned. Teresa, I want to give you a present. After all, I'm the guy who got you to ride my motorcycle. You just pick out what you like. Now, this was a man who knew how to make a woman happy. I could just feel it. By the time we walked out of there, he had bought me a beautiful black jacket with matching gloves that were so soft and so fine, they felt like a second skin. That'll keep you warm, Carlo said as I slipped into the jacket when we got outside. He ran his hands up my lapels and tilted my chin up toward him. When he kissed me, I felt like I was falling. It felt dangerous. I jerked away. Sorry, Teresa, Carlo said, drawing back. I guess I got carried away. I went to slip off the jacket. Maybe you should take this back, Carlo. But his hands were on my arms. Please, Teresa, I didn't mean anything. I know you're a lady and you like to take things slow. I respect that. His eyes were pleading with me. I didn't want to hurt him, but I didn't really know if I should accept this gift. Why don't we go get something to eat? Carlos said, as we settled back onto the motorcycle. The Crab Shack was a seafood place that I'd been to before, but not with either one of my husbands. Carlo asked for a booth in a corner. We sat and had a drink, and then we ordered. Soon we got to talking about our families. He had been married, but had been divorced for 2 years, and he had one son who was in the army. I never liked to talk about my two husbands. It was too sad, but I ended up telling him about Adam and Eric, and my two boys, of course. Everything was so easy with Carlo. He really seemed to listen to me. That's terrible, he said, covering my hand with his. That makes me so sad for you, Teresa. When he took me back to my car, we were standing in the parking lot. I was wearing the beautiful jacket and the gloves were tucked in one pocket. Thank you so much, Carlo, I said. The jacket is beautiful. Carlo started backing away. And you are beautiful, he said, wagging one finger at me. But I can't get too close to you when I say that, or I might want to kiss you. When I got home, Charlie wasn't home yet. I left the porch light on and went to bed. But I heard Charlie when he came in because I was still awake. I tossed and turned that night thinking about Carlo and what it felt like to kiss him. I was thinking about how good it felt when he listened to my story about Adam's accident, how his eyes had softened when I told him about Eric's illness. The next week, Jonathan called me at the dance studio. He was working in an information systems firm about a mile from the dance studio. Want to have lunch today? He asked. He didn't call me that often, so of course I said yes. We met at a sandwich shop. Jonathan was already there when I arrived. Jonathan is a handsome guy, just like his daddy. Every time I looked at him, I thought about his father and how proud Adam would be if he could see what a fine young man Jonathan had grown up to be. I also knew that Eric had been such a good influence on Jonathan, and I was so grateful for that. Jonathan kissed my cheek, and we sat down and ordered. Then he got down to business. All I knew that he had something. All I knew was that he had something on his mind. So, Mom, he said, Charlie tells me that you've been going out. I didn't know how much Charlie told him. I swirled the ice cubes in my glass. Yes, Marcy and I have gone out to a few spots. You know, just having a drink and having some fun. Jonathan looked down as he took the wrapper off his straw and began folding it into small squares. Then his eyes lifted to meet mine. What's up, Mom? I could feel my cheeks begin to burn. Nothing's up, I said. There was a part of me that was a little ticked off about this. I mean, here was my son questioning me about how I spent my time, and yet my sons were everything to me. Jonathan had been with me through a lot of tough times. Okay, Jonathan said. Is this somebody we should meet? I sat back. The waitress came with the food, and I waited until she'd left the table. Then I picked up my fork and speared some chicken salad. There's no reason to meet anyone, Jonathan, I said. Yes, I've been meeting people, and that's all there is to it. Jonathan picked up his burger. I just don't want you to get hurt, he said. I stared at the couple in the next booth. They were obviously married and they were holding hands. I don't want to get hurt either, Jonathan, I said. Of course I told Marcy all about the shopping trip. I just love this jacket. She just she said, running her fingers over one sleeve the first time I saw her. "It is beautiful, isn't it?" I said. "Carlo was right. It did keep me warm. It also kept me thinking about him. I felt more secure. I didn't know if that had anything to do with the jacket." "The boys tell me that you're dating," my mother said, when we went there for Sunday dinner. We were in the kitchen doing the dishes. Jonathan and Mary had left to go home, and Charlie was in the other room watching TV. "Oh, it's nothing serious, Mom," I said. "The boys are just overly cautious with me, I guess." "Nothing wrong with having fun now and then," Mom said with a twinkle in her eye. I think she had more dates from her senior center than I did. Carlo liked adventure films, and so that was the type of movie that we saw when we went to see a movie. He also liked to dance, and so that suited me just fine. We went back to the place where we met, and we also tried other clubs. I guess it was a few dates after he bought me the jacket when he asked, "Are you ashamed of me, Teresa?" "No, why would you ask that?" I asked, but I couldn't meet his eyes. Although he asked me to come into his house, I still insisted on meeting him in the parking lot or meeting him at the restaurant or at the movie theater. I didn't want to be alone with him in his house, and certainly not at mine. It did feel strange, and I knew I couldn't continue like that. "You've talked about your sons," he said one Saturday night, "but I haven't met them. I'd like to meet them. Well, if that's okay with you." We were standing at my car in the parking lot. We'd been dancing all night, and we were both warm and sweaty. We glided through the slow dances, and we really went to town for the fast numbers. Carlo moved me around that floor with a masculine certainty that I really liked. When we danced the slow dances, I put my head on his shoulder, but his arm would come down and snuggle me closer to him. I knew that he was trying hard not to make me mad. That made me feel kind of bad. I could see other women looking at Carlo. He was a good-looking guy, no question about it. I'm sure there were a lot of women who would have liked to do a lot more than just dance with him. "Why don't you stop in Saturday evening?" I asked Jonathan the following weekend. "Bring Mary if you like. I want you to meet someone." There was silence on the other end of the phone. "Is this someone special?" Jonathan finally asked. "Yes," I said, not feeling as certain as I sounded. "Well, I mean, we're having a lot of fun." "We'll come by around 6, Jonathan finally said. "Mary's been wanting to see the latest Coen Brothers film. We'll stop before we go to the show." "Your brother's coming over to meet Carlo Friday night," I told Charlie casually, as if talking about Carlo all the time. "Carlo?" Charlie looked at me and scrunched up his face like he was trying to recall if he'd heard of him before. "Just someone I'm, you know, going out with sometimes." Then I left the kitchen so I wouldn't have to answer any questions. "Is there any special dress code?" Carlo asked me when he called that week. "Not really." I wondered what the boys would think of his black leather vest. That night I wore what I usually wore when I went out with Carlo, jeans and a top. "Wow," Charlie said as I stood primping in front of the mirror. I guess he hadn't really looked at me when I'd gone out. "What?" I spun around. "Guess I never realized how hot you were, Mom," Charlie said, looking at me. I wanted to laugh. "Really, Charlie, I'm your mother." Charlie nodded. "Yeah, I know. I just wanted to let you know." Just before Jonathan turned down our street, Carlo drove up on the motorcycle. I was on the porch swing, kind of waiting, and I waved. He drove up the driveway and parked. Jonathan pulled up behind him, and he and Mary got out of the car. "Hi, sweetie." I gave Mary a hug. I thought Jonathan was very lucky to have her. Then Carlo hugged me. I spun out of his arms. "Why don't we go inside?" I said, and I skipped up the steps. Charlie was waiting inside. He had his hands in his pockets. I started the introductions before we even sat down. Carlo went to shake their hands. I saw Jonathan's eyes immediately go to the serpent tattoo on Carlo's arm. There we were in the living room, looking at the cabbage roses on the oval rug in front of the fireplace. "Well, so you're going to a movie?" I asked. "Yeah," Mary said. I finally convinced John that Friday was a good night to see the movie. It's hilarious from what I hear. "What movie is that?" Carlo asked. When Jonathan told him, I could tell that Carlo had never heard of the Coen brothers. That just wasn't his type of movie. "So what do you do?" Carlo asked John. "Information systems," John said. Computers, he added, as if Carlo would not know what information systems meant. Carlo nodded and clasped his hands in front of him. "Should I turn on the TV?" Charlie asked, jumping up. John stood up. "We really have to run. Just stopped in. Nice meeting you, Carl," he said. "Carlo," Carlo said. "Oh, sorry." John looked confused and upset. Now, there are moments when you think your boys are not too big for a spanking, and that was certainly one of them. I stood on the porch and watched my oldest son back out of the driveway. "Nice young man," Carlo said, coming up behind me and putting his hands on my waist. "Yes, yes, he is," I said, twisting out of his arms and opening the door. "I'll just get my purse. You ready to go?" I just wanted to get away from the scene of the crime. Suddenly, I felt as uncomfortable as Jonathan had looked. Although Jonathan did call me the next day to tell me that Carlo was not good enough for me, that he wore too much gold jewelry, and that the tattoos were too much, I didn't need to hear it. I already knew what he was going to say. So when Carlo called during the week, I put him off. "Sorry, but I have plans this weekend, a church thing with Marcy." There was silence on the other end of the phone. "So I didn't pass muster, did I?" Carlo asked. "Oh, don't be silly," I said. But of course that was it. Charlie wasn't as direct as my oldest son, but his disapproval was pretty clear. When the weekend came, he asked me if I had plans, and I told him that I was going to the show with Marcy. "Good," he said, folding his arms across his chest. "So why are we going out Saturday night?" Marcy asked when I called her. "I mean, I'm glad to go, but why aren't you out with that hot man?" "I just want to keep up my friendships, too." But of course, bit by bit, it came out. Marcy got real quiet when I told her about the boys meeting Carlo. "What are you thinking?" I finally asked. "We had seen a movie, although I couldn't tell you what it was about. I was wondering what Carlo was doing. Was he dancing with another woman? Was he feeling that I'd led him on?" "I'm thinking that you are the one who was dating Carlo, not your boys," Marcy said slowly, choosing her words carefully. "I mean, I know your boys are an important part of your life." She shook her head. "He's a nice guy, Teresa." "And he might have been a nice guy, but I kept making excuses. After a few weeks, Carlo stopped calling. Marcy and I settled into a routine of going out for dinner and then seeing a movie. I knew the storyline of just about every movie that was out there. I also started reading all of the movie magazines, so I knew what Brad and Angelina were doing, and even who Kate Hudson was dating. The only romance in my life was in those magazines. When Marcy suggested going to the Blue Bull, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to take a chance on seeing him. I folded my tight jeans away and started wearing sensible beige pants with an elastic waistband. The black leather jacket was pushed to the back of my closet. I even thought turtlenecks, or I bought them in every color. Months went by. Charlie went off to school and started dating a nice girl named Natalie. Mary became pregnant. The holidays came, and as I sat in my empty living room on Christmas Eve, I felt that life had passed me by. I was the black widow, and this was how my life would be. Charlie had gone to Natalie's for the holiday break. He was crazy about her. My mother was traveling with a group of widows from her church. Jonathan and Mary were coming for Christmas, but that was tomorrow. That one night, I was alone, all alone. I prayed for acceptance, and I prayed to Adam and Eric, "Help me now," I prayed. "Help me just appreciate the time I had with you." There was a part of me that thought it might be better if I joined them. That's how bad I felt. I just did not have the spirit to do anything. I did not have the strength to make a life for myself. The next day, Mary helped me in the kitchen. "I'm so excited about the baby," I said. "Don't hurt yourself lifting anything now. Let John do that." Jonathan came into the kitchen. "Oh, I wouldn't let her, Mom. I even take the garbage out now. So how does it feel to almost be a grandmother?" I turned back to the sink. "I'm very excited," I said. The truth was, I was terrified. A grandmother? Me? Mary went to the bathroom and John grabbed a towel to dry the pans. "You know, Mom," he began, "sometimes your kids can be really stupid. Did you know that?" I turned to face him. "Whatever are you saying?" John just shook his head. "I'm saying that I liked it when you were happy and excited. Darn it, I'm saying that Carlo wasn't a bad guy, and Charlie and I should have cut him some slack and gotten to know him. We didn't know you were going to drop him like that just because we didn't like his tattoo." I felt like lightning had struck me. "So it's all my fault, is it? You did what you thought was right, I guess." I shrugged. "Anyway, all that was silly. I don't want to get serious with anyone, and he would have wanted it to be serious. That would be stupid." "No, no, it wouldn't be." Jonathan hugged me. "Come out with us this New Year's Eve." "With Mary?" I said with disbelief. "You bet," Mary said, coming back into the kitchen. "Next year, I'll be home with a baby. This year, we're partying." "Oh, I won't drink, but I'll enjoy it just the same." Charlie came home after Christmas. He'd asked if he could bring Natalie, and I fixed up John's old room for her. We all planned to go out on New Year's Eve. On an impulse, I got out my jeans, bought a pretty green top with sparkling sequins, and dug that black jacket out of the closet. "Now you're talking," John said when he came to pick me up. But when he pulled up to the Blue Bull, I froze. I did not want to get out of the car. "What's the matter?" John asked. "You like to dance," he teased. I took a deep breath and got out of the car. They got a table and we sat down and ordered a pitcher of beer and a soda for Mary. Charlie asked me to dance, and although I didn't want to, I did. They were making such an effort, and that's when I saw the dark black hair that could only belong to one man. Carla was dancing with a very pretty blonde who was laughing as they danced. "I'll be right back," I told Charlie. "Time for a bathroom break." I leaned on the sink and talked sense to myself in that bathroom. Of course Carlo was with someone. What did I expect? But what I didn't expect was feeling this strongly about him after all this time. I didn't expect the red-hot jealousy that lanced through me. I didn't expect this yearning, this heavy feeling of loss in my heart. It wasn't midnight, but I had to go home. I yanked open the door. Carlo was leaning against the wall right outside the ladies' room. "Happy New Year's, lady," he said, those dark eyes boring holes in me. "Same to you," I said, trying to smile. "How are you doing?" he asked, pushing away from the wall. "I don't want to be rude, but I miss you, Teresa." He came closer. I could smell him, feel him, and feel my immediate reaction to him. "Miss me?" I whispered. "It doesn't look like you're missing me." He grinned. "She's just a friend who asked me to come out with her tonight. If you look at our table, you'll see a group of people you never seemed interested in meeting." "Oh, well," I peered over his shoulder, and there was a table of people, including the blonde. The blonde was sitting on another man's lap. "I miss you, Teresa," he said again. His eyes glittered, and I couldn't tell if they were moist or if it was the light. "I miss you real bad." "I miss you too," I said, and I started to cry. "I miss you and the motorcycle and the way I feel when I'm with you." "Oh, babe," he gathered me into his arms just as all hell broke loose. It was midnight and the place went wild. "Maybe we should give this another spin," he yelled over the commotion. "Maybe we should," I said, snuggling in his arms where I felt so warm. Everybody was kissing everybody else, but Carlo and I, we didn't know what else anyone else was doing because he was kissing me, and with that kiss came hope and promise and all the good things that a new year can bring. I knew then that life doesn't hold any guarantees, but I was willing to take another chance, and maybe this time my luck would change. They say the third time's the charm. Okay, well, that's the end of that story. I thought it was good. Hope you enjoyed it. This has been the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Have a really happy new year and happy holidays, and I will talk to you next week, next year, that is, too. This has been Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Take care. Bye-bye.